Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 13, verse 53. And it came about that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, and coming to his hometown, he began teaching them in their synagogues, so that they became astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Ask you for your presence, God. And we want to worship you this morning and really thank you and praise you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A very short passage this morning. But it's a cool passage because it really shows us that Jesus, before he began his public ministry, he didn't do any signs and wonders. You know, there are lots of, it's a little bit died down now, but a little bit while ago, they were really in search for the historical Jesus, you know, the real Jesus. What was he like? And they were looking at some other kind of books of old that kind of talked about Jesus doing miracles and signs and wonders when he was a little boy, you know, and how Jesus would have known about all of this, and other people would have known about that. But, you know, in this passage, it really shows us that before Jesus began his public ministry, he didn't have any significant power or teaching ministry or anything like that. You know, people just thought of him as a normal person, a carpenter, because when he comes to his hometown and he begins to teach and he begins to do these miracles, people are astonished. It said they are shocked at what is this guy? You know, who is this guy that he's doing all these things? And interesting, because that's a good response, right? Of course, it's a normal response to come. And then let's say Kenny Ye goes away to Japan for 2 years, and he comes back, and he starts teaching at SP, and starts doing miracles, and we're like, who is this guy? You know, he was here 2 years ago, just a normal dude. And we would be astonished. We'd be like, wow, shocking. But then we have a choice, right, of how we're going to respond. And these people had a choice of how they were going to respond. And instead of responding by glorifying God and really accepting what God was doing in their midst, they choose to take offense at him. And they just kind of despise him, you know, and say, who is this guy, you know? They basically rejected what God was doing in their midst. And the consequence we see in verse 58 says, he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Right? They missed out on what God had in store for them. They missed out on what God wanted to do. And so just two real quick things I wanted to point out to us. I believe that we're going to be called to leadership. You know, all of you, you'll be called into leadership and we're going to feel very inadequate. You know, it's very normal, right? When God calls us into leadership, when God calls us forth, our gut reaction is, oh, I can't do it. I'm inadequate. I'm insufficient. I don't think I can do it. Especially if it's in the hometown, you know, if it's in your own church, if it's with your peer group, and with your friends. You know, we feel very inadequate, and we're like, you know, these guys are my friends. Some of these guys are older than me. They're more mature than me. How can I be called into leadership? And we need to, you know, like, how are we going to respond to that? You know, are we going to say, Yeah, basically, are we going to lead when God calls us into leadership, or are we going to people please? You know, and that's a big question for me. You know, when I stepped into like working for the church, you know, into this pastoral role, and I was just a kid, you know, I was young, and there were all these older, and I felt they were so much more mature than me. So my challenge all the time, my temptation is just to people please, you know, not to step on anybody's toes, and like I'm doing this thing, but my concern is with like, oh, are they going to be offended? You know, are people going to be offended? Am I, you know, making sure that people would, I guess, accept me. But what God calls us to do is to lead, right? And if we're going to lead, we can't be worried about people's opinions, right? That's a terrible way to lead. And so my question to you is, how are you going to respond when God calls you into leadership? Because He's going to call you into leadership, right? Whether it's in church, it's in your workplace, whatever. Are we going to lead or are we going to people please? And Jesus leads, right, obviously. And that's why people get offended, right? Because Jesus teaches, basically He's telling them what to do, doing miracles and really kind of leading them, telling them this and this needs to be done kind of thing. People get offended. But Jesus doesn't care, right? Because He's so secure. Jesus is probably the most secure person in the history of the universe. And how is He so secure? Because He hears the voice of His Father, right? He says, you know, I only do what my Father tells me to do. And we see in the beginning of His ministry, the Father's voice coming out to Him and saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And every single one of us needs to have that kind of experience with the Father where we hear from Him, you know, you are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. You know, we need to have that kind of assurance in us if we're going to ever, you know, lead and do the things that God's calling us to do. So that's number one. How are we going to respond when God calls us into leadership? You know, I believe, you know, some people are just dying to lead, right? There are those people out there that just want to be the leader, want to, you know, and that's good as long as we do it with wisdom. And 1 Peter 5, it tells us, you know, don't lord it over your sheep, basically, but lead by example and care for them kind of thing. If we have that kind of heart, it's good. But most of us probably sitting here don't want this kind of responsibility. But when God calls us to lead, we need to obey and just walk in faith. Number two is how will we respond to people that God raises up in our church, you know? When God raises a homegrown leader. And, you know, like my, for me, when I stepped into the leadership role here, I felt very supported by the church. You know, everybody was very encouraging, right? Very respectful and accepting of what God was doing. But again, like I said, my challenge is that I wouldn't just go into my people-pleasing mode, but that I would actually lead. I would hear from God. And I wouldn't, and that was one of my prayer kind of contending for topics, you know, that I wouldn't lead to please people, but that I would lead according to what God was downloading onto me, you know, that I would just lead by faith and stuff like that. But, you know, there will be other leaders that rise in this church, right? It could be house church leading or different ministries, and God will raise people up. And we must learn not to take offense at what God is doing. I think one of the reasons why we take offense at things is because whatever is happening is outside of our expectation, you know? We have certain expectations on how people are going to behave. We have certain expectations on how God's going to answer or what God's going to do. You know, we see that in the case of Naaman, who had leprosy, and he goes to Elijah, I think, or Elisha. Elijah? Elisha. Elisha, and he gets offended because Elisha doesn't even come to see him. He sends his servant to say, you need to go wash yourself in this river. And Naaman's like, what the heck, you know? I expected Elisha to come, the prophet of God to come and lay hands on me or something, you know. If I can wash in this river, I can wash it back home because my river, the rivers in our home country is much cleaner, blah, blah, blah. So he gets offended because the answer that he receives is outside of his expectation. And same thing here. They expected Jesus to be a certain way. They knew Jesus to be a carpenter's son. You know, they know his mother, father, they know his brothers and sisters, and they expect Jesus to behave a certain way, to say things a certain way, but Jesus is totally outside of their expectation. He comes leading and teaching and doing miracles, and they take offense at it, right? So, yeah, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to respond when God does things, or when God tells us something, or gives us an answer maybe to a problem that we're wrestling with, and it's outside of what we are hoping for or outside of what we're expecting? It happens to me sometimes when I do my quiet time, because when I was growing up and when I was young, I hated doing my quiet time. I hated doing that little book, you know, Koreans. I don't know if it's like that in other churches, in like Chinese or Western, but in Korean churches, you always get a little booklet, and it's your quiet time booklet. So every day there's a little passage and a bit of an explanation and your application. And I thought it was so boring. It didn't make any sense to me. It had no impact on me. So I kind of have a negative reaction towards these quiet time booklets, right? And I have zero respect for them. And I say, that's not going to speak to me. And nowadays, instead of having booklets, we have these quiet time emails, right? Daily devotional. People, you know, you can sign up for these and they come. And, you know, I signed up for a few because, you know, I'm like, maybe it's a good thing to sign up. But when I get them, usually I don't even open them. I just delete them or I open them but don't read it. But every once in a while, I would sit there and read it. And my expectation is that this will not speak to me, you know? My past experiences tell me that this has nothing for me. But I read it, and almost every time I read it, it's like, oh, like I learned something, and God really speaks to me through it. And, you know, it's outside of my expectation, you know? Like, I could just be like, just take offense, like kind of a silly example, but you know, I could just be like, forget it, you know, this, my expectation is that it will be nothing to me. But if I humble myself and allow God to use even something outside of my expectation to speak to me and to work in my life, then God does, and he speaks to me, right? And so when God does something, or when he raises people up and it's outside of our expectation, are we going to take offense? We're going to be shocked, sure, we're going to be astonished, but we have a choice to say, I'm going to reject it, I'm going to despise it, you know, whatever. This is not what I expected, so I'm just going to forget about it. Or are we going to say, you know what, God, whatever it is, whatever it takes for you to work in my life, whatever it takes for you to change me and do something in me, you know, I'm just going to open up myself up to it. So those are the two things, you know. God's going to raise you up. Are we going to respond in leading, or are we going to people please? We're going to have to obey, right, and be secure in the Father's love for us. Second thing is, how are we going to receive what God is doing, even if it falls outside of what we're expecting for? So Samantha is going to come and lead us in a time of worship. Let's close our eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us today.
can't be left behind. No one else will do. There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. And I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. To where else can I go? There's no
church. Let's pray that just God will really bless our church and the members of our church. You know, I just, you know, have a real heart to pray for those that are struggling, you know, that are going through a tough time, that are really seeking God for direction and guidance, and they're really in need of God's strength and stuff. So let's cover, if you know of anyone specifically that's going through a tough time, let's pray that God would really minister to them, that God would strengthen them today. And also, if you don't know of anyone specifically, just pray for the church as a whole. Pray for just the members of our church, and pray that God would have His mercy and grace upon the members of our church. So let's pray together and lift up our church together. Let's pray for our men's ministry and women's ministry. Let's pray that through those ministries that our guys and girls would really be able to connect with each other, that through the women's Bible study that they have once every other month, I think, that they would really be blessed, that they would really learn and grow from that. And also men's ministry after the retreat, you know, we really came together, but that we would continue to really support each other and to really grow together. And let's pray for the leaders of the men's ministry and women's ministry. So let's pray for these two ministries. Let's pray for our building search. Let's pray that God would really lead us to the right building, that He would give us favor with this proposal that we've given to the government for this land. And let's just continue to cover our building search committee, fundraising committee, and everyone that's involved, that they will not lose heart, that God will continue to lead them and guide them. So let's pray and cover this whole project. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your love. And I pray that You will guide us and lead us in our journey with You, Lord. And when You call us into leadership, that we would step into it with faith and with obedience. And God, that we wouldn't put expectations, God, upon how we feel like things should be done, but that we would just humble ourselves and open our hearts to whatever You want to do, whatever You want to say, God, and that we would just humbly receive and, grow from that, Lord. So lead us. We thank You for Your word. Watch over us today, God. I bless everyone here with Your presence, God, with Your peace, Lord. I bless them with Your strength for today to overcome, God, whatever obstacle we're facing today, Lord, and real breakthrough power and breakthrough anointing, God, for the things that we're contending for. And give the members of our church that are struggling, that are really in need of Your encouragement, I bless them with Your comfort and Your encouragement, Lord, and love, Father's love to come upon them, Lord. So we give You this day. I pray that we would be able to bring joy to Your heart today. And we worship You, Father. We love You. And thank You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day.